Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss Native American Heritage Month, look forward to toys for military kids, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
No better friend, no worse enemy. There are few organizations more feared by freedom's foes and more admired by the world than our United States Marine Corps. Montezuma, Tripoli, Chosin, Iwo Jima, and Fallujah. We know these names because brave Marines stepped up to serve us, fighting and winning our nation's battles and wars. This month, Marines around the world, including many here in Minnesota, celebrate the Marine Corps birthday. They celebrate their proud lineage, earned through hundreds of years of service and sacrifices made by generations of Americans who proudly take on the nicknames Devil Dogs and Leathernecks. Our Marines have time and time again proven to be always faithful. Semper Fi, Marines, and happy birthday.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. November is Native American Heritage Month, or it is commonly referred to American Indian and Alaska Native Heritage Month. The month is a time to celebrate rich and diverse cultures, traditions, and histories, and to acknowledge the important contributions of our American Indians. And joining me today to talk about that and his service to our country is Trudell Garou, who was a paratrooper, a lawyer, a tribal judge, and he was a member of the Lakota Sioux and grew up in the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. Trudell, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
I'm glad to be here.
Sir, can you tell us, you grew up out in South Dakota, a member of the Lakota Sioux tribe. When did you decide you were going to join the military?
When I was three or four, when one of my cousins and an uncle, they were the same age, came home on leave from the 504 parachute of the 82nd Airborne Division, and I saw them, and I said, someday I'm going to be one of them.
You had that in your mind your whole life?
I have.
You have. So what year did you finally join? You're a Vietnam, fellow Vietnam veteran.
Yes. I joined in on June 30, 1966.
And tell me about that. I understand you attended the Artillery Officer Candidate School.
That's correct. I enlisted and I had just gotten I just graduated from a small school called Vermont Academy in Saxons River, Vermont, and I was very, very accustomed to taking exams. So the exams that it was called the ACT at one point, I scored very, very highly on it, and I was told that I was eligible for OCS, and my company commander at that time was a special forces captain, told me to do it. And being the person who tends to follow orders, I did. Unfortunately, they sent me to artillery school rather than the infantry school, but I don't regret it.
You always wanted to be airborne, and you ended up becoming part of that, didn't you?
Oh, boy. Thank God.
And at some point, you got orders to go to Vietnam and made the rank of captain.
That's correct. I got my orders. I actually was a little bit perturbed when I got my orders because they said I was going to Germany, and I wanted to go to Vietnam. But there was a three-week TDY to Fort Benning for jump school, so that relieved some of my discomfort, but as soon as I got to Germany, I put in for Vietnam, and it took 10 months, 11 months to finally get there. But thank God for whoever it was that sent me to Germany, because it gave me time to mature a little bit and to learn more skills as a forward observer, which is what I was in Vietnam. I wanted to stay with the infantry I did not want to go back to a fire base because they're noisy.
Now, Trudell, the last time you were on the show, I believe you told me that before you went to Vietnam, you visited with some folks at your tribe, and you had a harbinger of something to come.
I did. It was the the night before I was going to leave the reservation, get into my little old 1964 Spitfire, I was visiting one aunt and a cousin, and I came back out. And it was real cold. It was in November, and my little car wouldn't start, so I was going to jump start it. When I got down to the end of the, and my aunt lived at the very, very end of town before it dropped into the canyons, and I heard a woman crying, and she was crying very, very hard. Something bad had happened. And I thought she was in one of the houses nearby, but it turned out when I got out to kick the tires and wiggle all the wires in the engine, the hair went up on the back of my neck because she was crying behind me down in the creek. And this lady, and it's clearly a woman, is part of our history in a tribe that she often shows up when someone is going to die. And I took, so when she was crying behind me, I understood that I was going to die. And actually I did. But what she was really telling me was something very bad was going to happen to you and be ready. And I forgot about it, thank God. I didn't think about it for years. Probably 5 years before I remembered her.
And on your tour of duty to Vietnam, you managed to get yourself blown up.
Well, as I was telling you earlier, the starting from Bush, Cheney, and Wolfowitz era, they started to try to make words that didn't quite. That didn't sound quite so negative about things, and they call this stuff IEDs. But going back to, I know at least to World War II, we all called them booby traps because only a booby would be caught by them, and I clearly was a booby.
We're speaking with Trudell Guru on Minnesota Military Radio about his tribe and his time in as airborne infantry and in his tour of duty to Vietnam, where he got himself injured and came home and spent a lot of time in the hospital. And then, Trudell, I think you told me the worst day of your life was the day when they told you you could no longer be an active member of airborne.
That was the worst day of my life. When I think about it, I still get choked up. All I wanted to be was a paratrooper, and I knew that I couldn't be anymore. I couldn't even be in the Army anymore.
But after that, you became an attorney. You were a tribal judge for the Lakota tribe. You spent 20 years or so helping out here in Hennepin County at the Legal Rights Center, helping folks that needed our help, and you've had a great career.
Well, I'm not sure I would call it a great career, but I had a career, and I'm not ashamed of it. It was back when I started, I had thick black hair. Now I have thinning, mostly gray hair, and I don't think it's just a matter of getting old, which I am. I do believe that stress had a lot to do with it.
Well, you helped out an awful lot of people in those 20 years, though, Trudell.
I hope so.
Well, Trudell, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about Native American Indians serving in the military, going back to as long as the country has been here, and then, of course, talk a little bit about some culture items and some of the folks that in World War I and World War II were called code talkers because your people signed up in great numbers, and we want to look into that just a little bit. We're speaking to Trudell Guru on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking today with Trudell Guru, who is a paratrooper, lawyer, former tribal judge, a member of the Lakota Sioux, and a Vietnam veteran who managed to get himself blown up and survived it and spent 20 years here in Twin Cities helping people that needed help through the Legal Rights Center nonprofit poverty and criminal defense law firm in Hennepin County. And today we're talking about the fact that November is Native American Indian Month, and the Native Americans have the highest percentage serving in the United States military than any other ethnic group in the United States. They have served with distinction for over 200 years, from General George Washington during the Revolutionary War to today's war in Iraq. The warrior spirit, courage, and determination that made them a formidable enemy made them a strong ally when they chose to fight alongside other Americans. At the end of the 20th century, there were 190,000 Native American veterans. Because none of the treaties with the Indians has ever been kept by the United States government, people may wonder why Native American Indians would choose to fight for a nation that has treated them in such a dishonorable way. Yet Native Americans consider themselves part of their tribe and part of America, perhaps because of the following qualities prized by their culture: strength, honor, pride, devotion, and wisdom. And Trudell, as often as I can, I study Native American Indians and some of their customs and their history, and it's quite a story. It's tragic. It's wonderful. It's honorable. I wish they'd teach more of it in school.
Tom, I agree with you. First of all, that description, I have to admit that I have no wisdom. But teaching in schools would be a very, very good thing. But our educational system, especially about history or civics, is so cursory. There is a book out, and I cannot remember. It's a compilation of articles written by a lot of educators, mostly college level educators, and it's called "Why You Can't Teach American History Without the Indians." And I struggled through it. It's hard reading, but I would recommend that to anybody who wants to learn something about the American Indians.
Trudell, when it talks about strength, honor, pride, devotion, comes to wisdom. Part of that they say is survival skills. And you've certainly mastered that. And another little fact here, throughout the Vietnam era, American Indians enlisted in the military to the tune of more than 42,000, and 90% of them were volunteers, with others serving through the drafts. So what is it that makes your people, Native American Indians, sign up in such great numbers? They tell me that of the able-bodied men within tribal units, up to 25% of them sign up to serve in the United States military, when the rest of the population serves at the tune of about 1% across the population of the United States. Is it your culture? Is it your history? What is it that causes your tribal members to sign up in such numbers?
I think it's trying to live up to the expectations. You want to measure up to what everybody else did. In my case, I was an uncle and a cousin. I wanted to be a paratrooper like them, but my family has, I had six brothers, only two of whom did not serve. In Vietnam, I had about a dozen cousins. I am the last one left. There are a couple of cousins and a brother who went to Korea. My brother was with the MGM Scouts out on the DMZ. And thankfully, he made it. I think that the biggest thing is we as children, boys and girls, you see the old vets being honored at a celebration, or what most people now say powwow. And it's very stirring, and you would like to be the recipient of that sometime.
We're speaking with Trudell Guru on Minnesota Military Radio. Trudell, I think I told you that about a year ago we went up north to the Fond du Lac tribe of the Lake Superior Chippewa, and they had a powwow, and we were invited up there, but they called it a veterans powwow. And I was absolutely stunned. The respect with which they treated their Native American Indian veterans was something that I'd never seen in my 65 years.
Tom, out in the Lakota world, the veterans, and I want to make something really clear here. It's the veterans. It's not the Indian veterans. When they do an honor thing for veterans, they say, and actually I've only heard this two times in my life when someone said, we want our Indian veterans here. No, at least in my tribe, when they say they're honoring the veterans, they are honoring all veterans, those who happen to be American Indian, those who happen to not be American Indian, but are Americans.
Just like when we went to war, we were brothers in arms.
There it is.
And it didn't matter what the background was, what ethnicity it was, whether I'm an Irishman and you're a Native American Indian, we were brothers in arms, and that's the way it should be.
As I told you, thank God for the Irish, because I can finally say to somebody, there's somebody else crazier than us Indians.
Thank you, sir. Trudell, we can't talk about the Native American Indians' contribution to the military without talking about Code Talkers. And Code Talkers were something that was a talent that was truly valuable in World War One, World War Two, to some degree in Korea, and I understand they used them a little bit in Vietnam. It was just amazing what they could get done. And from what I read, in World War II, there was the one code that nobody could break. They just didn't understand whether it was Navajo or Lakota or what it was. What an amazing contribution.
The Navajo, and this is the one you're talking about, that's the Marine Corps being very publicity conscious, or the ones who they because the Navajo are actually close to their main training centers too. They brought them in. They knew that their language is so complex that generally only if you were raised in that, and there were white people, non-Indians, who learned to speak Lakota, but I'm sorry, Navajo. But it is so complicated. And then when the Marine Corps realized that they had a tool here that could be very helpful, they organized them, and they not only did they just use Navajo, they came up with code words, and I think the best description of how that worked was the Japanese had actually captured a Navajo in the Philippines, and they knew he was, so I hope he lived, but they made him listen to the Navajo code talkers, and even though he knew what words they were, the words they were using, he did not know the code words. So that made...
So he couldn't translate them if he wanted to.
That's right.
And they were on the front lines with all of the other combat troops, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
And helped win a war.
Oh, well, my best friend from back home on the reservation, Francis Whitebird, his father was a code talker in World War II in Europe. And there were quite a few tribes that were doing this. But one of the things that has become kind of an adage, and Francis will say it to you, without the American code talkers, the American Indian code talkers, we would not have won the war. A little arrogant, but yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. let's call that true. It's your month anyway.
Thank you.
Trudell, we've only got about a minute left. You're a proud veteran. You're wearing your airborne jacket today. For all our listeners on 45 stations all over Minnesota, if they're thinking about joining the military, what would you have to say to them?
Do it. Do it. Study in school so that you can pass the entry exams. That one of the unfortunate things, at least happened on my tribe and probably among the rest of the Sioux and more likely among the rest of the American Indians around the country. We have many, many, many young men who can't pass the entry exam. And what I've seen in my tribe is that we have many, many young women who are passing the exams and are going in. I was just home when we brought back a Sergeant Philip Hyatt from from China. He had been wounded in North Korea and taken to China, where he died. And I was just surprised that there was a young woman, a retired Marine sergeant. I think she was a staff sergeant. I saw a young woman walking by, and she was wearing Captain Bars.
That has changed today. There are large numbers of women serving in our military, and they're doing a great job. And Trudell, I want to thank you for joining us at the radio station today. I want to thank you for your service to our country, and it's always a pleasure to see you again, sir.
Thank you, Tom, and I want to thank you for your service, too.
Thank you, sir. That was Trudell Grew, a paratrooper, lawyer, former tribal judge, Vietnam veteran, and a member of the Lakota Sioux on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll learn all about toys for military kids. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about toys for military kids. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
November is Native American Indian Heritage Month. And as we celebrate, I want to take a moment to talk about our Native American veterans here in Minnesota. A permanent plaque on the Capitol grounds in St. Paul serves as a reminder of the contributions Native American veterans have made to our state. Their contributions to our nation's military were noted by General George Washington and have continued on to today's conflicts. It has been documented that Native Americans, percentage-wise, are the largest ethnic group to have served in our nation's armed forces. The Department of Defense's research found that this high percentage has been, in part, due to their cultural attributes of strength, honor, devotion, pride, and wisdom. We are grateful for our Native American veterans for their service and sacrifice to this great nation.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is one of our producers, Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And Annette, the Commissioner was talking about Native American Heritage Month, and you brought somebody from another tribe that I think we've met before.
Yes, I have today.
Who you got for us?
So today we have Mike Clark from Egan Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and Toys for Military Kids. It's going to talk about a wonderful program we have here in the state that's also sponsored by the local John Vesey Association of the United States Army chapter of the AUSA. And we have a great program for our military kids. And Mike's going to tell us a little bit about Toys for Military Kids.
Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
I think either you or Les have been on the show every year about this time, and you're getting everything all fired up and ready for Christmas again.
That's correct.
Tell us about Toys for, the number four, Toys for Military Kids.
Well, this is a program, Tom, that's now in its 16th year. My wife and I have been doing it. This will be our fourth year, and it seems to be growing in leaps and bounds every year, but it was started by Les Hansen 16 years ago. Shortly after 9/11, when he saw a need to be able to provide toys for military children when literally both mom and dad were deployed. And the kids were concerned not only about mom and dad being away, but also what was going to happen at Christmas time. And he started this program, and in November of 2013, he stepped back and gave us the opportunity to continue to put the program forward.
Now, Mike, there are other programs out there that collect up toys for children, but there was a loophole. There was an exception for military children, and Les stepped into that to make sure that some of our military families that couldn't afford to buy toys could still have access to some toys. And he got it started, got it up running, and as I said, we had him on the show for a few years, and you took it over a few years ago, and it seems like it's going straight up.
That's correct.
So how do you reach out to people to let them know that there's a need and try to define what that need is and fill it?
Well, I've kind of looked at this as a year-long process. It's not just in the fall of the year. I use every opportunity that we have through Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and other events that I'm involved in to showcase the Toys for Military Kids program and to let people know about it, and it's really worked well.
So, Annette, with your network of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities and businesses, have you been able to help Mike spread the word?
Yes, we've been able to get the word out through our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks and really through our family readiness support assistants who are always in our family assistance centers across Minnesota who are always looking for the military families that have a need.
And military families are proud families, and it's really kind of hard to find those that they don't want to admit they need help.
Right. And that's why we go through the chain of command, because the commanders know what families might need some extra assistance. And this is all done very confidentially to help the families get connected and get toys for their kids.
Mike, where can our listeners find more information about Toys, the number four military kids?
Well, they can go to the VESEchapter.org, and there'll be information on there as far as our drop sites and contact information for me. We send out an application that's already been out to units, and they, in return, send that back to us indicating when they are having their drill weekend and the party associated with that.
So this time of year, you've been collecting up toys and money all year, but this time of year, you're looking for some volunteers to help?
Yes, and we're always looking for volunteers to drive to pick up toys, to send in donations, and to drop at one of our, let's see, this morning it was 54 sites. It's soon to be close to 60.
And, Mike, you don't even drive. How do you get out there?
Well, I have a vice president of transportation who's seated behind me.
Sitting in the control room over
there. That's correct. Steve Anholt is just a real gem of a find. I met him at the first Beyond the Yellow Ribbon meeting we went to. It seems like longer than 4 years ago. But we've just developed a really close relationship, and literally every morning when I get home from Sam's Club, we have an itinerary of where we need to go and what we need to do to make this program happen.
So you found your volunteer driver.
Yes.
And you're doing a great job. Thank you. He's waving at us. Now, Mike, I'm looking at a form here. Is this available on the VESE website?
No, it's not. This is sent out, as Annette said, through the family assistance centers and the FRSAs. And I've gotten numerous amounts of them back, and word of mouth has helped innumerably. Units that are maybe more than one unit in an armory hear about this program and jump on the train and get started. I think we have close to 35 units so far, and we're looking at a deadline of Monday, but I can't remember any time that we've ever denied somebody the opportunity to take advantage of this program.
So you're still looking for some toys. What kind of toys are you looking for?
Well, we looked at new toys, of course, in the $10 to $20 range from infant, toddler, 3 to 5, 6 to 9, and 10 through 12.
And is there one group that's harder to fill than the others?
Well, as an empty nest grandparent, we've got the infant through 8-year-old, but it's that pesky 9 through 12 that's got us a little bit stumped. So we're engaging youth and other people in the Egan community to go help us shop, and we find that people love to spend other people's money. So,
and what type of things are you buying for those hard-to-buy years?
We haven't started doing that yet, but a lot of games, scientific experiment type of things. Yep,
okay.
That's true.
Well, that's great work, and you're running out of time. It's going to get real busy the next 4 or 5 weeks, isn't it?
That's true.
How many units are you expecting to help this week or this year, and how many families?
Well, last year we did about 2,300 toys to 43 units in 5 states, and we'll probably exceed that this year because the word of mouth has increased immeasurably.
So you've really grown. When you were first on the show with us 4 years ago or so, we were talking about Minnesota and units here in Minnesota. You've expanded out into other states now and picked up a lot more people.
Yep, we're in Wisconsin, Iowa, North Dakota, and thanks to Les, we're even in Arizona now. So
you ship him out to Les and let him take care of that.
Yeah, where
you're not making your director of transportation drive you down to Arizona.
We'd like to, but it's quite a commute.
He's shaking his head. I don't think that one's going to happen, Mike. All right, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll summarize this whole thing and tell our listeners how you can help Toys, the number four military kids. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Mike Clark and Annette Kuiper about TOYS, the number four military kids. And Mike, each year you do this, you run this program in honor of someone. You want to tell us about that right now?
Yes, Tom. This year we're honoring Connor Masterson, whose mother, Sandy, as well as Gwen Olson, are the organizers of Scoops for Troops. And I'm intimately involved with that as well. And I reached out to Sandy this year, and she wrote just a marvelous biography about Connor. And these laminated biographies are on all of our toy boxes for people to read when they drop off toys.
And we'll be talking about Scoops for Troops next spring.
Yep, April 29th.
There we go. He's got the date already, where you can go out and get some ice cream.
It'll be warm then.
Promises. Run in a, you have a race out there and a lot of people. It's a good family day, and it's out in Arden Hills, right?
That's correct.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Now, Toys for Military Kids. This is where you supply toys to our units, military units and military families who need some help with Christmas.
That's correct.
And you're going to supply, how many toys do you think? And you said?
Somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 this year.
And is your house full of them already?
Actually, that's going to happen tomorrow through the one of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies. UPS is going to make the move for us on Friday afternoon, and we'll be starting to set up with toys. And we've got some other opportunities, and with us having location drop sites at all five Harley dealerships in the Twin Cities, I've got companies that are asking me the first question, are the Harley dealers in this year? Because we want to go and look at the motorcycles or buy clothing. So it's really a wonderful network of people that have been able to put this together.
So pretty soon you and your wife are going to surrender your house to all these toys and then try to get them distributed.
That's correct.
How can our listeners help? Do you need volunteers? Do you need money? What do you need?
D, again, all of the above. We could use volunteers, and if they go to the VESEchapter.org, there's a contact information for me either by email, msclark454@comcast.net, or they can call my cell at 651-235-9181.
The easiest thing to do is go to the VESE chapter of the AUSA, and you can find all the information you need. And Mike would like you to send in some money, help find some toys, bring some toys over to all the local Harley dealers, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
And Annette, you've been helping send information out to all the Yellow Ribbon organizations, networks.
Yes, and we're always looking for military families that have a need, and they can connect through the information you just said or through the Family Assistance Center.
So the Family Assistance Centers of Minnesota, if they just call them, they've got a 24-hour-a-day hotline. And they will, on a confidential basis, take down your information, make sure it gets over to Mike, and help you out this Christmas.
Get you connected, yes.
Okay, last time. You need toys, you need volunteers, you need some help. They go to the VESE chapter, AUSA, they can find all the information they need, Mike.
That's correct. And a personal thank you to Dick Sanitation, who provided all of our collection boxes, and Panera Bread, who provides all of our bags to put the toys in. People just love it.
Starting to sound like a radio announcer, right?
Like NASCAR.
No, not quite. Not quite. Annette, thanks for coming to the studio again today and for bringing Mike along. And Mike, keep up the good work, and we'll see you next spring for Scoops for Troops, and we'll see you next fall for another round of Toys, the number four military kids.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Annette Kuiper and Mike Clark on Toys for Military Kids. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Happy Veterans Day, and it's good to be back with you.
Thank you, sir. I was out to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center a couple of weeks ago, and you had a flu shot clinic set up downstairs.
Well, I hope you got your flu shot.
I did, sir. They gave me an extra booster, I think.
Well, that's good. You know, any of our veterans can come in and get a flu shot any day from their primary care doctor. But I would really hope that people do that. You know, we're making it a big push this year. In fact, we are for the first year requiring that our staff get the flu vaccine. We usually have a fairly high participation rate for our healthcare providers, but you know, it's so important when you see your healthcare provider that you know they not they're protected, that you're not getting sick from them, you know, and you, and so glad you got your flu shot. You know, Walgreens partners with the VA, and so veterans can go into Walgreens and get their shot, and we'll get it recorded over here. So so good. I'm glad you got your shot. It's a smart thing to do.
Well, the nurse wasn't going to let me out of it anyway, Director, so your nurses out there do a marvelous job.
Glad to hear that.
Director, I understand you're starting to get into some holistic medicine.
Yeah, so so you know, there's this whole area of healthcare, Tom. You know, integrative health, holistic health. You know, including some things that maybe for the listeners are things like yoga, tai chi, acupuncture, mindfulness strategies, all kinds of sort of alternate therapies in addition to traditional healthcare that are really become much more evidence based and something that veterans, you know, veterans with pain, veterans with anxiety, can really benefit from. So we've been offering those kinds of whole health modalities for a while over here, for several years. What's new is that we're cutting a ribbon. We're going to actually open a whole holistic health, integrative health clinic on December 12th, and so veterans can go, and it's going to be primarily classes, but you know, battlefield acupuncture, and this is really in response to veterans over the years who said, you know, gee, that they really have benefited from some modalities, and you know, if you can do this rather than take medication for your anxiety or for your you know, for your pain, it's better. And so yeah, December 12th, we're going to open a new clinic, got the providers in place. It's really going to be a good enhancement for our veterans.
Director, over the last few years, as a patient out there, it's been pretty convenient to just go online and order up any pharmacy items that I need or to send a message to my doctor. But I understand you're going to start letting veterans do some self-scheduling.
Yeah, so you're referring, Tom, to My Healthy Vet, which many of our veterans, about 70%, are signed up for that, allowing them to have, you know, secure communication with their doctor. I use it all the time. It's really a good tool. Or to order their medications, I do that as well. So it's the new enhancement will be that we are one of three pilot sites, along with Bedford, Massachusetts, and Salt Lake City VA, where we're going to allow veterans to self-schedule online using an app. And this was a bill that was sponsored, at least in the Senate, by Senator Klobuchar, and that's why we got the good fortune of being one of the three test sites. But we are going to start that next week. I'm going to be one of the first ones that tries it to make sure it works, but it's going to be for primary care and mental health care. So, you know, this is what other healthcare systems do. You know, we need to get into this more in the VA, so it's more convenient for our veterans. You don't have to make a phone call. You don't have to wait in line. You can do it yourself, and you can do it, you know, the way that a lot of veterans do business now with their smartphone. So yeah, that's it's going to be starting out a little bit slow as we get our feet on the ground on this, but this is where we're going. This is what veterans want, and I think it'll be a good enhancement.
Another sign of technology changing things,
yeah,
sir.
Absolutely.
Director, I understand you've got another town hall coming up.
Yeah, so once a quarter we do our town halls. The next one's going to be December 7th at the Forest Lake YMCA, 5 to 7. So for your younger listeners, there's going to be childcare available if they want to come. Forest Lake YMCA, again, 5 to 7, and that'll be our 14th town hall in the last 3 years. So we, once a quarter, get out there along with the regional office who talks about benefits and the cemetery staff over at the National Cemetery. So it's usually a well-attended event. We get good feedback from our veterans, and so Forest Lake YMCA 5 to 7 on the 7th of December.
And, Director, I understand you're going to expand your eye clinic.
Yeah, we have about 2 years ago we opened a new eye clinic, and it has continued to boom. That's a big business for our veterans who have a lot of needs for not just eye exams, but sometimes, you know, our older veterans get, you know, eye disease, glaucoma, and other things where they need help. So we have a large, newish, it's in 2E in our main building, but it's been here open for a couple years now. But, you know, we're continuing to sort of grow and expand our services in order that, you know, veterans can get all their eye care needs met here. Busy clinic, access, we're working on access. It needs to be a little bit better, but yeah, it's an ever-growing sort of a thing. And so it's, that's growing. Our Ely Clinic up north is growing. We're going to be opening that for a third day. Right now it's open 2 days, but it's going to be open 3 days starting November 20th. So again, just an effort to be sort of more available to veterans who need health care.
Director, just a few seconds left. Are you still looking for nurses? Are you still hiring?
We are always hiring good doctors and nurses and a number of other specialties, Tom. So we are having job fairs. We just finished a job fair for nurses on October 18th, and we continue to have those. So, yeah, for your listeners who are interested in working for the VA, we have over 1,000 nurses. They're good nurses. They like working here. So come and see us. We'd like to consider you for working here.
Director, things are always changing and evolving. You're doing a great job out there, and it's just a nice place to come to. All of your people are just so wonderful when I come out there for a visit. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Trudell Guerrier, Mike Clark, Annette Kuiper, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk with one of Minnesota's largest yellow ribbon companies and hear the latest from the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.